Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's a symphony of sports. And Bob McCowan is your conductor. Ever been smacked over the head with a conductor's baton? This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Monday, October the 5th, and this is Primetime, hour number 3 of 3. Bob McCowan and Ken Reed in our Toronto studios. Greetings and salutations if you're just joining us. If you heard the update, then you know the schedule has been released for the postseason in baseball. The Blue Jays will play an afternoon game on Thursday, late afternoon, and a early afternoon game on Friday, then a primetime game in Texas, game 3 on Sunday. So Thursday, it's a 4:07 start if the Yankees win the AL wildcard game. 3:37 if Houston wins. So you're going to have to take the afternoon off work. Friday, well, it's probably all day off. 12:47, regardless of who wins, the Blue Jays and the Texas Rangers, those are the first dates that you need to be aware of.
Long weekend, right? So baseball weekend.
Well, it's a great sports weekend if you're in Canada. You've got the Blue Jays in action in the postseason for the first time in 22 years, and the NHL will ramp up their season starting this week. Sportsnet will do its preseason extravaganza, I think, tonight.
Tonight at 7 Eastern.
And among those on the table, along with probably thousands of others, is our next guest, Doug McLean, joins us. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. I had a lot of people on the island. They saw that you were a little cranky this summer. And they
it's because I missed you, Doug.
And they were asking if you were, you know, like you were a couple of years ago with me. I said, no, Bob's great. Bob's great.
So you lie to your friends on PE and PEI, huh?
And by the way,
the only thing we know.
I was in Pictou, Nova Scotia this summer.
Why? Do you need gas?
I was on my way to Antigonish, to St. Evex.
Really? Did you stop and see the big sign about me there?
No.
Oh, you must have took the wrong road into town.
No, I was going to take the ferry back to the island, but then we decided we were going to stop at Fox Harbor.
Nice.
And what'd you shoot?
Bob, I broke 90 this summer.
Attaboy.
You only played 12 holes. But
88. My game's really come together.
How are the greens rolling at Fox Harbor this summer?
Well, no, I didn't play. I pulled up, and of course, the gates were locked.
Well, you said you shot 88.
No, I shot 88 on
this summer.
On the island. On the island. But I pulled up to the gates at Fox Harbor, and they're locked, so I hit the button, and Jill and I are there, and I said, I'd like to come in case I'm over coming through here again. I'd like to come in and see the accommodations. And they said, I'm sorry, due to our guests, we like to keep it private here. And I said, would you tell the boss of security that I know Ron Joyce and his son? Can you let? And all of a sudden, the gates open up, and I went in on a tour.
That'll
so I
nice.
Played the heavy role, you know?
I thought you just would have dropped your own name.
They don't have a clue who I am.
Yeah, you got to play that
Joyce
card.
Ron Joyce knew me when he needed tickets for the finals, though, years ago, but now he doesn't.
I hit Ron Joyce's house there once on my drive on that hole, you know. Put it right in his front yard.
Yeah, I'm sure he was thrilled at that noise.
Anyway, I'm on the show tonight, Bob.
Yes, I know.
Thank you, show. I'm doing a 2-minute segment on 3-on-3 hockey and the coaches, whatever it's called, coaches challenge. So that's my role tonight. So it's sort of a quiet night.
Well, I'm sure you'll be great. You'll try and squeeze 5 minutes into 2, which you've been known to do. And so as a preview, would you care to tell us what you think of this 3-on-3 thing? I think it's pretty good.
I think that the coaches have no way of screwing this up.
Oh, really?
Good.
I'll tell you why. Because they only play 4 forwards and 2 defensemen, okay? And they're the best players on the team. And those 6 guys never listen to the coaches anyway. So there's not a chance they can screw it up, in my opinion. I love it. I think it's great. And I think the only thing that coaches can deal with is trying to keep the biggest thing that's happened in a lot of the games has been bad line changes. And surely to God, the coaches can fix that. But I really don't think they can screw it up. Like, is Jeff Blashill going to tell Dadzuk and Zetterberg what he wants them to do on a three-on-three?
Well, he might try, but I don't think they're going to listen.
Is Johnson going to tell Kessel and Sid and Malkin, oh, no, don't do that. Sit back.
Yeah.
Surely to God they won't mess with it. And I don't think they're going to have a chance to.
Don't you think, though, Doug, there's a coach out there right now going, how can I make three-on-three defensive hockey? There has to be.
Why would you?
But there has to be. This is what they do.
Okay, I can understand this. If Malkin and Crosby and Kessel are on the ice, say, okay, let's try to defend it a little bit, and then we'll try to get the next shift when those three go off the ice. I don't have a problem with that. But you can't do it because the best against the best, they're not going to sit back. If you got your best two forwards and D, or like I hear Calgary may try going with three defensemen because of the way they jump into the rush with Giordano and, you know, the group there. So, you know what, I just don't think you can tell those top guys not to go for it. I think it's ludicrous.
I think you're right.
And you know, why would you?
So, well, I wouldn't anyway.
Line changes, and it's going to be little, you know, where guys come in on a rush and miss the net, and it's a three-on-one the other way. That's what it's going to be, and I love it.
Let's hope so.
With Doug McLean of the NHL on Sportsnet. Look, I want to start, you know, with the guy who's gotten all the attention during the offseason and so far in training camp, and that's Connor McDavid. You know, I get it. Preseason doesn't mean anything. Records don't mean anything. But is it even possible that this 18-year-old can turn this franchise around almost right away? Is he good enough to be able to do that in conjunction with all the other pieces they've got?
I think they're Florida from last year, where they might be the most improved team in the league, but not make the playoffs.
Really?
I don't see them getting in now unless Talbot stands on his head. I mean, he's played 57 games. He's a good goaltender, has a chance to be a good number one. I just don't see them getting in that Western Conference. But I think I got a chance to be at ice level with him last year in the prospects game. I was blown away how good he was, how great. He's a Fedorov-type skater. He's a Perreault-type skater. He's one of those, you know, generation players. I think he's going to be just fabulous, but I still don't think that defense is good enough. Even with Nikita Netta there, which, oh my God, why did they sign him? But anyway, seriously, I said it 2 years ago, and people, oh no, he's going to be fine. Speck tell me, Doug, he's an NHL defenseman. I said, yeah, right. Anyway.
It's not like they didn't give him enough ice time in the first year or two in Edmonton, eh, Doug?
Seriously. But anyhow.
What did
I made a few bad signings too, didn't I, Bob?
No.
None that I can recall, Doug.
What did it mean to you, Doug? You mentioned you don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Do you think they took that into consideration at all when they sent Leon Draisaitl down to the farm today?
You know what? I think you've got a Detroit phenomenon going on in the NHL now that everybody's sort of saying maybe we should be sending our kids to the minors. Like, the Red Wings have had so much success with it. Is that what it's all about? You know, it's you know, maybe people are, you know, you got a management team there that are totally comfortable. There's no panic there. They've got a, you know, I mean, Bob Nicholson, look, he won the under-18 women's last year, and they won the World Junior. So he, and now he's got this big deal. So he's comfortable for a lifetime, and Picciarelli's comfortable. I mean, do the right thing and let the kids take their time and learn. God knows they've rushed enough people, and I've rushed people. I mean, it doesn't work.
One of the veterans in Edmonton, I guess if you want to look for some controversy in Edmonton, do you know what's going on with the C and Andrew Ferentz? Is he going to keep that?
Well, look, he didn't have a good year last year. He left Boston when Picciarelli was there. I can't imagine it was a good ending. I just think they've got to be a little careful here. It's easy to be excited about your young defense. But, you know, you got a veteran guy there. He is your captain. You know, I don't think they should panic. I suspect he starts the season and hopefully gets his game going. But they were so bad last year. But it wasn't him as much as it was Schultz and some of these other guys. So I think they've got to be a little bit patient with the Ferentz. I know he's not a great player, but he can certainly make that blue line. I mean, Sekera, I'm watching Sekera the other night. He's making a fortune. I mean, he was not very good in L.A. last year. He was good in Carolina. I mean, I'm not sold on him. It is whatever it is, $5.5-6 million. So I think they should be a little patient with Ferentz.
One of the things we spent some time talking about last year was the job that Stan Bowman had to do over the offseason in order to keep the Chicago Blackhawks under the cap. And he has accomplished that, as you would expect, but not without a paying a price. Mm. Do you think the Blackhawks are good enough to take another real run at this thing?
You know, I think they're going to have their hands full. I don't have them there this year. I'm sort of leaning Tampa-Anaheim final. I just don't think. I think, you know, they continually are picked away at depth-wise.
Yes.
I don't think, you know, but look, with Taves there, it's hard to ever underestimate the Blackhawks because he's become the greatest captain, you know, in the modern era. I really believe that. I think he's right up there with the big boys. You know, the so-called greatest leaders of all time. He's got to be there already at this age. So I don't think you can underestimate them with him and the Duncan Keiths and the Crawfords, the character they have. So the Kane thing, how much does that affect them?
Well, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, it affects you. There's no doubt about it. It's gonna play on him. It's gonna play on everybody there until it's resolved. And even after it's resolved, it's gonna take its toll, I think. So I don't have them going back. I don't. And Stan's done a great job. There's no doubt about that. But Sharp goes on and on. Bickle, not that he's been injured with the vertigo or whatever it is, injury or whatever it is, sickness. And you know, there's challenges there.
We talked about Connor McDavid. The other high draft choice, Jack Eichel, has been pretty good in the preseason. With a team that arguably is more challenged even than Edmonton in trying to find enough players to support him. What do you expect from him, and what do you expect from Buffalo this year?
You know, I think Buffalo will be much improved, but I don't see them being close to the playoffs. You know, they've made some interesting changes. You know, there's you know, the Riley thing is a problem for them right off the hop. You know, I don't really like that deal totally for what they gave up. I think Kane is you're not sure what you're going to get with Kane. He looks real good right now. Eichel to me is going to be a star in the league. He's going to be right there with Connor. Not as good, but awfully, awfully good. So I think they're moving in the right direction. I think Denny Bausma will do a solid job there. Terry Murray's a real good assistant coach. I think they're moving in the right direction. I really do.
Eichel got a goal against the Leafs shorthanded about a week ago. Yeah. The speed. Like, he took two strides.
Scary how
yeah.
And McDavid is, I talked about McDavid skating, but this guy's not far off. He's got a chance to be that good. They're going to be a 1 and a 1A for a long, long time mm-hmm. in the league. And character kid. I mean, he played at, you know, college, NCAA as a 17-year-old and was a star every night, you know, so he's going to be terrific.
Doug, when it comes to speed, we saw a lot of veterans on pro tryouts this year and guys, you know, big-name guys who didn't catch on with teams. Has the speed increased just that much even in the last 4 or 5 years of the game for these guys that they can't keep up with it?
Well, since Lou signed Mike Ryder and Ryan Clough in New Jersey, the speed of the game has changed. And, you know, I mean, it's become that much of a factor on a nightly basis. This, with the whole overall change of the game in the last 7 or 8 years, speed is one of the biggest things that scouts look for right now. I mean, hockey sense, speed are two things that, you know, the vision side and the speed thing is right at the top of the list when they're looking at it. And it's amazing when you watch kids, you say, okay, he's not a great skater, but man, is he fast. Hmm. He doesn't have great technique, but is he ever fast? You know, so I think it's become that a critical a part of the game. No doubt about it.
It's kind of funny because you go back 10, 15 years, we always used to hear his hands can't catch up to his feet. You know, like the Rico Fratto syndrome. You know, he's fast, but his hands can't catch up to him. Now the guys have the hands and they got the feet. It's kind of frightening.
Yeah, the skill level is scary. Yeah. I mean, I remember our favorite saying was, you know, with hockey players, and I've said this before, you know, the first thing to go is your hands, and the second thing to go is your wife. But, I mean, you know, now it's the legs. When you start to lose that speed, and I remember watching guys, even though in the 90s, how guys, you know, when the legs started to go, it really. I remember Gerard Gallant playing for us in Detroit. I mean, Gerard was a heck of a player and one of my all-time favorite guys. But the wheels fell off him Lanny McDonald, the wheels and the hands left him there late in his career. And it's tough to watch, you know, because they're such quality guys.
With Doug McLean of the NHL and Sportsnet. So during the offseason, I played poker with Phil Kessel in Daniel Negreanu's tournament. And so we're sitting around chatting, and Kessel starts regaling us with details of this off-season exercise program that he was on. And, of course, I damn near fell off my chair.
Was it involving poker?
Didn't involve poker. That night was poker, but he's talking about the program that he'd been on that summer. And he looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how much weight he'd lost or how much body fat he'd reduced, but he looked like he was in good shape, and he was talking to us about this regimen that he'd gone through. And, of course, if you're a Maple Leaf fan, you're probably sitting there listening to this and saying, well, why the hell didn't you do that while you were a Toronto Maple Leaf? What do you expect from Phil Kessel in Pittsburgh? Is this a guaranteed 40-plus goal season, or do you want to see a little something before you make a prediction?
No, I think he's 40 goals. I think, you know, with what he went through here at the end, how could, like you say, he worked out this summer and he trained hard. I think with the abuse he took and the conversation and the way he was essentially, should I say, run out of town, you know what? And was he given a lot of the blame for what went on here? I mean, I don't know. Was he what, in the top five scorers in the last 7-8 years in the NHL? I mean, look, he's not, I guess he's not the greatest leader. I guess he's not a leader at all. But look, the guy can score. I can't imagine him and Sid Malkin on a 3-on-3. I think he's going to score. I think he's going to be good there. I think he's on a mission to prove some people wrong. And, you know, when I say railroad out of town, he's really the only guy that anybody would take, you know. I mean, seriously. You know, nobody's going to take Dion's contract. Nobody's going to take Lupo's contract. So who else was it? Nobody's going to take Bozak's contract. Who else was it to trade? So I think I would think if he's got the character that you would think he's, you know, he's going to try to have a heck of a season, and training was a big part of his problem here.
You can't show up in front of Sidney Crosby with a couple love handles, can you? I mean, that's got to be motivation enough.
Listen, Sid is a fanatic, and you know that. You know, he's a fanatic about fitness, the way this guy trains. I mean, his fitness guy is with him 24/7. You know, he's a machine. And, I mean, how can you show up there and not be in great shape when you're expected to play on his wing? Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to have a good year. I really do. And, you know, I don't think the Leafs were wrong to move him, you know, and make it and change things up here. But, you know, we'll see. But I think he's going to get 40. I mean, look, the 3-on-3 is going to help goal scoring.
Let's it is.
I mean, guys are going to pick up 5, 7, 8, 10 goals off the 3-on-3 if their team's a good team.
I'm thinking
the premier guys, the guys who get the ice time.
I'm thinking a couple guys are probably going to pop 50 this year, and there might even be somebody to challenge for 60 just because of that 3-on-3.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you get forwards going against forwards on 1-on-1s. You get 2-on-1s and 3-on-1s. I mean, you know, like Darren Pang has mentioned, goaltenders are the ones I'm worried about in the 3-on-3. But look, it's going to be terrific. I think I got to give the league credit. You know, they could have went 4-on-4 and then to 3-on-3, and they went with it. And give Kenny Holland credit. It was Kenny's idea from day one. But, I got to give them credit for stepping up and doing it. I love it. I mean, look, remember back the Oiler days? How much did we – now, when I coached against them, I used to hate 3-on-3s.
Yeah.
But as Brian Murray yelled at Glenn Sather one night on the bench, I was with Brian in Washington on the bench, and he yelled at him, "Hey, Sather, we'll see how good you are without Gretzky." Anyway, that was a 3-on-3 shift.
Doug, is it true that the Oilers would send out a guy just to get a coincidental to get it down to 4-on-4?
Totally.
Yeah?
Totally. Totally. But anyway, I think we've seen some, you know, people saying that's a gimmick and it's fine. Like, give me a break. It's kind of fun to watch.
Steven Stamkos still does not have his contract situation resolved. He's in going into the final year of his deal in Tampa. He claims to be very happy there. And why wouldn't you be? I mean, it's a nice enough place to live and to play. You and I both know that. And they have a very good hockey team with a chance to win a Stanley Cup. So right now, all the peas are in the pod. Do you expect Stamkos to stay in Tampa?
Like I said about Detroit, the last time I looked, Mike Ilitch was with $4 billion. And if he really wanted to keep Mike Babcock, he would have kept him. So, you know Vinick a little bit.
Yep.
I cannot believe for a minute they're going to let him go. I can't believe for a minute. And Stevie Y would be working it on the QT with Donnie Meehan trying to get this done. I mean, never. I think it gets done. I can't believe that they would let him walk. But look, Shanahan got Lou and Babcock. Maybe he pulled another one out of that. Now, if he gets Stamkos, could we keep Brendan off the ice after practice?
I was going to ask you about that, Doug. When you were president of Columbus, did you ever go out and show guys how to do one-timers in your
cities?
Oh,
all the time. All the time
he
did.
Well, if I did, they'd be shooting pucks at me.
Yeah. Is that a big deal for you to see Shanahan out there doing that?
I just found it weird. And then I found it even weirder that, hey, look, Brendan can go on and do whatever he wants. Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, the guy knows how to take a one-timer. It's bread and butter. I think I would pick a different spot to go on the ice and do it, not with the media sitting there watching. And Babcock in his first year as head coach, I mean, if you notice, he wasn't just teaching the players how to take a one-timer, he was teaching the assistant coach as well. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was kind of weird, anyway.
Would you feel undermined as a coach if that happened to you?
No, but you just sort of chuckle about it more than anything. I would. I'd say, like, Shanny, are you losing your marbles?
Yeah.
But anyway.
I will say this about Stamkos.
They need some help with their one-timers, though, in fairness to Shanny.
Somebody's got to score for them.
Yeah, maybe Shanny can lace them up and play.
I'm not sure it's going to change Panic's game, but...
Yeah. Well, on the Stamkos thing, I would say this to you. If Stamkos wants to stay in Tampa, you're right. He's going to get a deal. What I don't have any idea of, and I see him occasionally. We are members at the same golf club. We don't really talk much about stuff, but I have no read on whether he wants to stay there or not. I think he's saying all the right things.
Yeah.
But don't you think it really comes down to if he wants to stay, they'll give him a deal that's good enough. But if he's got his mind set on playing somewhere else, and I have no idea where that might be, maybe he goes.
Maybe. Look, stranger things have happened.
Yes, they have.
I just don't see. I think he gets Taves money, you know, and say, I mean, how can Stamkos, you know, and Steven Stamkos, I know him a little bit. He's quality through and
he's
through.
A good guy.
Yeah, I just... There's no better guy in the league. And there's never, actually, he lived at one of my scouts in Columbus' house when he was in Sarnia. Andrew
did
Shaw.
He?
And you know what? They continually rave about him. I just can't imagine that if he gets a Taves deal, he won't sign a long-term deal and be there. But look, who knows? And I don't know what his relationship is with Cooper. I mean, I like Cooper. I think Cooper's one of the good coaches in the game. I think he's one of the good guys in the game. I'm not buying for a minute that Stevie Y is going to let that relationship deteriorate to a point. So, I don't see it happening.
The New York Islanders, after 33 years, will no longer play in Upper Long Island. They'll play in Lower Long Island. They'll be in Brooklyn. It's not a big deal necessarily, but how do you think they will do there?
I think it's a big deal. I do. I think it was such a... You know, look, guys tell me they go to the Islanders practice facility and it was like playing on a Pee Wee House League team. It was so bad. You know, I mean, the facility, not only the Nassau Coliseum because of its age and the way it's deteriorated, but the whole practice facility set up. I think this is going to be good. I think it's going to put them on the map more. I think they blow by New Jersey really fast.
You do, huh?
I think it's going to be real good. I think it's going to be real good for the Islander franchise. And you know, we got the Mets, you got the Yankees. I know they don't seem to compare ever, but I still think it's a big and a very positive move for them.
Do you think people from Manhattan will drive to Brooklyn to watch them play? I mean, I guess you're going to get the diehard guys from Long Island to come down, but it's a hike. It's not a quick commute.
I think, you know, you'll get the hockey fans and, you know, I mean, I think they had no choice. I mean, it would have been better, obviously, if they were able to build a state-of-the-art facility in Nassau, you know, on the Long Island. I think that would have been better for them. But this is the next best alternative. I don't think attendance will be an issue for them. I really don't.
Legend, I got to get your take on 41 games for Rafi Torres. What was your reaction when you heard 41 games for that hit on Silverberg?
Well, I said that I thought he'd get 15. He got 8 his last suspension. He had 25 for Hossa. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a bad move. I can't believe he actually did it in an exhibition game. I didn't like the way he sort of chased him down. I thought it was really bad. I have no problem whatsoever with the 41 games. He deserves it. He's lucky he's not given the heave ho from the league. I'm telling you, they're fed up. And for this to happen after the poor guy sits out a year with a knee injury, mm-hmm. and then he comes back and does this right away, I just can't believe he did it. I feel bad for Rafi, but he deserves it. He deserves it.
Do you think this is a reflection of the dramatic change in philosophy in the National Hockey League? The goons are gone, Doug.
Yeah. They
don't exist anymore. The whole, for years, guys like me had to fight the inner circle of the NHL and the value of you know, big hits, rough and tumble, fighting, all that kind of stuff. The game has changed. Do you think he gets 41 5 years ago?
No.
Same situation.
He wouldn't have got it.
I agree.
He wouldn't have got it. But, you know, well, let's not forget, Dale Hunter got 20 or 25 a long, long time
21
ago.
21, too,
John. You know, really, it was bizarre when you think back, the what he got 21 for. But, look, it is changed. There's no doubt. And, look, we've got concussion spotters in the rinks now.
I know.
They're sitting in with the video coaches now, the concussion guys. I mean, it's bizarre. So, yeah, it's good. Protect the head. Protect the players. And we got a better game. So, yeah, you were on the soap. You still haven't got through to Kiprios, though. He still thinks fighting real, real important.
Well, he was a goon.
But let me go Captain Caveman here.
He was a goon.
He could put the puck in the net.
He scored a million goals as a junior and then forgot how to do it.
No, he adapted to the game. Let me ask you this one, Doug, and I think it's going to set Bob off. Does that Rafi Torres hit take place if there's a couple tough guys riding on each bench?
Oh, come on.
Seriously.
Yeah.
The guys go running around like that if they know they might have to answer the bell.
Don't fall into that trap, McClain.
I'm serious.
Oh, come on. For years when they had goons on the bench, there were guys fighting or guys hitting dirty. You know, was the Stevens hit on...
All the tough guys did is fight the tough guys the last 5 or 6 years anyway.
Yeah, but we could get into the whole conversation of why the tough guys fight the tough guys, Doug. You don't want me to do that.
No, I love your hockey card book, but don't become a hockey expert.
I'm not. I'm just asking questions, legend. I'm just asking questions. Oh, you're getting a round of applause for everybody. Thanks for the book plug, too.
I love the book, by the way.
It was great. Did you get past the first chapter yet?
No, I didn't.
I used it as a stocking stuffer last year. I used to use tangerines and grapefruits. Now I use that book. It's great.
Well, was Jill disappointed when it said to Doug when I signed it?
I have a table at home that has one short leg. It's now supporting that short leg on the table. That's what I've used it for.
And the other leg's got your book. What was your book? 100 things you have to change about sports?
Yeah, 100 things about Doug McClain I don't like.
I love the book. Oh, my God, they didn't. They don't. And then the second question is, first question is about you. Are you really still a mean to me? And the second one is Kiprios an idiot or is he a nice guy?
Doug, you wouldn't believe how much they had to edit that book to get it down to just 100 things that Bob doesn't like about you.
Anyway.
Last one. I have a view on this. The Las Vegas, Quebec City thing is a sham. The National Hockey League.
$500 million.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Nothing is going to happen with these two. They're waiting for Seattle. Las Vegas and Seattle will get expansion franchises, and Florida or Carolina or some disreputable place will move their franchise to Quebec City. Agree or disagree?
I hear Phoenix is doing really well now.
Yeah, they're solid.
No, they're moving too.
I love when Anthony LeBlanc, things are great. And then I read they're going to lose $38 million this year. Listen, I think Vegas comes in for sure. I think Quebec is put on hold. I hope I'm wrong, but I think Quebec is put on hold. But I think Vegas will come in. I think he's waiting for
Seattle. He wants two teams in the West.
Well, I think Seattle may get in, but I mean.
Well, they don't have anything
yet. Who's going to pay for it?
I'm a big Brian Mulroney fan.
Oh, yeah, well, now we're not getting into politics this close to the election, are we, legend?
Really? Another former politician steps up and...
Well, Mike Duffy's been asking me to take the leadership of the Prince Rowland Conservatives, but I sort of...
I thought he was trying to get you to buy his cottage.
Same
or his
thing.
Main residence. Sorry, yeah, sorry, his house.
I'm okay.
Same thing. McLean, enjoy your 2 minutes tonight. We'll be watching.
Take care, guys.
See you, buddy.
See ya. Doug McLean on the NHL on Sportsnet.
Didn't you miss him this summer? I love talking to Doug.
I like Doug fine.
No, he's just. A fun guy.
I'd have McLean on every week.
I love that he just carves whoever he's talking to. He just carves them up. I love it.
I mean, we've had more than our share.
Dish it back
of friendly and sometimes unfriendly conversations.
I would just like to say that the last half hour featured two authors and one man who didn't write a book.
I don't think he's ever read a book.
He was a teacher.
All right, he's colored a few books, but that's about as far as we can go.
He's assigned reading.
Baseball talk. CJ Nitkowski joins us next from Fox Sports 1 when primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right. Now take this, baby. You don't care for me. I don't care about that.
22 minutes before the hour, it's Primetime Sports, Canada's most listened to sports talk show on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. McCowan and Reed. I got to read something. We never do contests on the show.
Oh, I'm excited now.
I don't think since the beginning of time we've done contests.
Let's start it now.
But they gave me this to read. I got to read it. If you're in the Toronto area, if you're not in the Toronto area, disregard this. You may walk around, bump into walls, do whatever you need to do. If you're in the Toronto area, this is your cue to call to qualify to win a pair of Blue Jay playoff tickets to Thursday's Game 1 matchup against the Texas Rangers. If you're the ninth caller at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590 or *590, you will have a chance to qualify. Again, ninth caller, 870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Those are all the phone numbers. We're getting ready for playoffs in baseball postseason. We have the wild card games tomorrow and Wednesday, and then the opening round of games begin on Thursday with the Blue Jays at home in an afternoon game, 4 o'clock, 3:30, we don't know yet, start against the Texas Rangers. CJ Nitkowski of Fox Sports 1 joins us to chat a little bit. I want to get, CJ, thanks for joining us, first of all, but I want to get to the playoffs, obviously. But one of the stories that came out today is the CC Sabathia story that he's entering alcohol rehab. His situation this year with the New York Yankees suggested to a lot of people, myself included, that something was going on beyond the fact that he wasn't among the best pitchers on the New York Yankees this year. But for this move to happen right now as the Yankees are getting set for the postseason, does it say anything to you? Does it mean that this situation has reached a completely intolerable place?
It's hard to say, not knowing the details of what's going on. I mean, I think with CC Sabathia, just strictly from a pitching standpoint, we saw some of the struggles, you know, going back even a couple of years, but these last two in particular had not been pretty strong for him. Now, he was actually throwing the ball a little bit better, and I think in giving the Yankees a little bit of hope as far as what they might be able to do with him and how they could use him, he was probably going to be their fourth starter in the postseason. But obviously personal, the situation is right now, and dealing with what's going on in his personal life is taking priority over that. The Yankees certainly support that. It's unfortunate, obviously, the timing for the Yankees if they are able to get past the Astros in the wild card game. But I don't know if it points to, you know, what's been going on with him the last couple of years. I mean, that would be pure speculation, and that's definitely something that, you know, I'd stay away from.
Do you want to guess as to whether he would have been – do you think he would have pitched in the postseason for the Yankees absent this news?
I do.
You do, huh?
I do. I think based on where they are right now with the rotation, he was probably their fourth starter. And you think about winning the wild card game for Masahiro Tanaka, he probably couldn't pitch till game three anyway,
right?
Had they won it, or if they do end up winning it. So it's always kind of dicey. But if you look at Ivan Nova, you look at Eovaldi, who's hurt right now. Nova hasn't pitched particularly well. Severino's been good. He's probably their number two. But now, obviously, CC's not going to be in the picture. But I imagined he was going to be their fourth starter in a bigger series.
forget what they say in Vegas or what they've got up on the board. Who's your favorite to win the World Series as of right now today?
I tell you, I'm not saying this just because I'm talking to you guys, but I really do like the Blue Jays. They, for me, are the most complete team of the postseason teams right now, the 10 that are in the postseason. They're a juggernaut. I mean, there is no getting away from the fact that this offense is a powerhouse, and they're going to be something to be reckoned with. And it's not that it's a huge, you know, yeah, they got their some swings and misses, but it's not like the Astros where they hit home runs, but they seem, you know, a little bit easier to strike out than the Jays. And the lineup is a lot deeper with a couple of different kind of hitters as well. And thinking about, you know, those games in Toronto, I wish they had had home field advantage, at least for the ALCS, but they'll have it in the first round. That plays huge into the kind of team that they are. And the thing that's really jumping out is what Marcus Stroman has done in his four starts. I mean, you didn't know what you were going to get, right? This guy
pushed
so hard to be able to come back and to go 4-0 and to deal the way that he did. Now you combo him and David Price 1-2. It's pretty encouraging right now if you're a Jays fan. But I think they're the most complete team on paper. I think they have the greatest chance. Of course, things always go a little bit differently than we expect in the postseason. But I really like the Blue Jays and where they are right now.
CJ, how do you see this series with Texas going down? I mean, these are two teams that score a lot of runs. Is it going to be that kind of baseball, or is it going to be more traditional playoff baseball, say 3-2 games, 2-1 games?
I would assume that they would be close, but it is kind of interesting when you look at these two offenses, and it's not just one or two hitters, but again, lineups that are a little bit longer that can be a little bit more difficult to pitch to. I think the encouraging thing for the Rangers is that that you're going to be able to rest everybody because their bullpen was beat to shreds by the end of the season. Luckily, none of their bullpen had to pitch on Sunday, but their top two guys, Sean Tolleson and Sam Dyson, had pitched 5 days in a row going into the last game. And I can't imagine if Jeff Banister was going to have to call on one of them late in the game on Sunday. Luckily, he did not have to. But they have a pretty good bullpen. They'll have an advantage now because they'll be able to be fully rested. They have good starters, but not necessarily great starters. And so I could see the Blue Jays maybe getting to a guy like Gallardo in game three, potentially, or maybe Kobe Lewis, depending on how they set up their rotation. Cole Hamels is going to be tough. There's no getting around that. He's locked in right now. He's throwing the ball really well, but not as well as David Price. So maybe early on we see some close games, but depending on how many games this series goes, how deep you get into those rotations. But if they start to get past number two starters, I think we'll start seeing some big runs get put up.
What do you like in the National League? If the Blue Jays are the best team in the American League and maybe the best team overall, who theoretically do they play in the World Series?
This is going to be really good because the five teams in the National League are solid.
The Mets
had the worst record of the group, which is crazy. You know, they have great pitching,
yep.
But here's the New York Mets are with the least amount of wins of the five teams that are headed to the postseason. I think what works out well for an American League team in the World Series is ultimately that the Cubs or the Pirates, the second or third best team in the National League, is going home after the first day.
That's right.
Because of the way the playoff system is set up. But, you know, the Cubs are a fun story. I'd love to see them advance. I do worry about the depth of their pitching. This is what I'm kind of seeing. You know, we're always guessing when we're trying to make predictions.
Sure.
But Clayton Kershaw has taken a lot of heat for not being a huge postseason pitcher. He's had his struggles, especially that seventh inning in both games last year. He allowed a combined 9 runs. It just got away from him in the seventh inning twice. I think that's behind him. Just like David Price. I think David Price's postseason struggles are behind him. And I think Clayton Kershaw is going to have a big postseason. And I really believe the Dodgers have a good chance to ride Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw all the way to the World Series. But it's certainly not going to be easy. Getting past the Mets alone is going to be a battle. The Cardinals, with all their injuries, are still a very good team. I like both the Pirates and the Cubs. The Pirates have a great bullpen. It is difficult, but I'm leaning toward the Dodgers and riding out those top two starters.
Man, you're reading my mind because that's exactly what I said last week. You give me two starters like Kershaw and Greinke, and I'll take my chances on just about anything else in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, the thing about, like, thinking about the Mets in that first round, just trying to split those first two games because you start to get an advantage when you get to game three. Right now, the Dodgers don't know if they're going to go either with Brett Anderson or Alex Wood in their three spot. So you think about the three spot, say, against the Mets, and you get to throw Matt Harvey in that spot.
No, I know.
That's a pretty intriguing possibility, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I think those guys are due. I think they're too good. But if somehow you can find a way to split those two, first two games, then it starts to maybe get a little bit more scary for the Dodgers.
CJ, if we want to go back to April, I'm sure a lot of us would have predicted that today we'd be talking about who the Washington Nationals would be going up against in the playoffs because they were series favorites for a lot of people. They cleaned house today. Matt Williams and his staff are gone. We noticed that you sent out some pretty, I'll call to-the-point tweets. It doesn't look like via your Twitter account you're too impressed with what the Nationals did today.
Well, I mean, I just hate seeing guys get fired. I hate seeing high turnover for coaches and managers. I hate seeing when coaches are the fall guys. We saw, you know, first base coach get fired in Boston as if it was his fault. You know, what happened with this team this year, they fire a broadcaster. But just weird decisions that get made. Don Arcillo is such a well-respected guy. And then when I see Matt Williams get let go, he's the manager of the year last year, right? I mean, how does he go from being manager of the year in 2014 to being, or excuse me, 2014 and being out of a job now? I mean, did he do that bad of a job? I mean, you look at that team and you see the injuries. I think the injuries are absolutely a legitimate cause for what happened there this year. Doug Fister missed time, significant amount of time. Steven Strasburg missed time. Denard Span missed a ton of time this year. Anthony Rendon was one of the better third basemen in the National League last year, really in all of baseball. He misses a significant amount of time. Ryan Zimmerman misses time. These are huge names and big pieces of the puzzle that were not available the entire year. And even when they were, they weren't quite getting it done. It took them a little time, I think, to get back to who they were. That was a big problem for the Nationals this year. I can't put that on Matt Williams. Now, the whole Bryce Harper situation kind of blew up a little bit, and now we're reading these stories about some things that have gone on in the clubhouse, some behind-the-scenes stories about Jason Worth basically calling out Matt Williams for losing the clubhouse. That's unfortunate, but the little bit amount of time that I spent around Matt Williams in the couple of games I had with him this year, I really enjoyed talking with him. I liked his leadership. I liked the things that he said. Now, I'm not there every day, and so you always have to, you know, you have to kind of let those guys tell you, the ones that are there every day, what's really going on. But it just seemed like this was definitely going to happen. I know a couple of those coaches on those teams that play with them with the Washington Nationals are good baseball people. And to see that they just cleaned house over a couple of things that happened and really a team that was mostly derided by injuries, it seems unfair. It was 2 years. To me, that's, if you're going to hire a guy, you believe in him that much, and he wins manager of the year the first year, I don't see how all of a sudden you turn around and he's out of a job the second year.
With C.J. Nitkowski of Fox Sports 1. Does Papelbon pitch for anybody next year?
That's a great question. The Nationals have him next year for $11 million.
So yeah, I know. Wow.
A $13 million option on there. What they do with him, it's a great question. It's a problem. The Harper situation, obviously a problem with him. Drew Storen, for that matter, and how that affected Drew Storen. Drew Storen was their closer before they got Jonathan Papelbon, and he did a great job for them. He slides into the setup role, and things just became an absolute disaster. So that's the decision Mike Rizzo has to make. You know, he made that bet. He decided to go ahead and go after Jonathan Papelbon. And listen, Papelbon pitched well for them.
Yeah.
You bring another guy in who can close, but one who demanded to close, and that was the issue. They agreed to that. So that's Mike Rizzo. That's on him. He made that decision. He knew the demands. He had to be able to at least foresee to some degree what an effect that would have on his bullpen. Now, if he just lets him go and eats that $11 million, as an owner, I'm kind of questioning that a little bit. So I like Mike Rizzo, too, but you made your bed. You got to lay in it.
Real quickly, about 40 seconds here. There's no chance Harper's going anywhere, but it's not unreasonable. No. It's not unreasonable to assume that at least 50% of the blame for that incident was Harper. Agree?
I agree. And I took a lot of heat for even throwing that out there. You know, when I wrote a piece on him, I guess it was last Monday, about that, about the whole situation, everyone jumping on Papelbon. I said, you got to look at both sides of this a little bit. And I asked some players about it, and a lot of them agreed. Listen, Papelbon should never have done what he did.
100%.
That should never have happened. But at the same time, a lot of people saw what the issue was there. And so absolutely equal blame. But that's the other thing. What did the Nationals do? They suspended Papelbon for 4 days without pay.
Yep.
And Harper sat out one game with pay. So they chose sides in this thing, so they certainly can see it as 50-50.
We got to get out of here. We're out of time. CJ, good of you to take time for us. Thanks, pal. Enjoy the postseason. We'll talk to you again soon,
I hope. My pleasure.
CJ Nitkowski of Fox Sports 1. Our thanks to him and to Doug McLean for joining us this hour. Joe Theismann, Buck Martinez, the hour before. Ken Reed was the surprise co-host of the show. Will I be equally surprised tomorrow?
No, because I'm telling you right now, I will be back tomorrow. Because there's no shock involved at all. Get your producers to do proper lineups.
So I will not be surprised. I may be disappointed, but I will not be surprised.
Disappointed, not surprised. Great way to put it.
No baseball tonight. I guess there's Monday Night Football, if you want to... for tomorrow. Then the baseball bonanza begins.
Good times.
Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow. Good night from Toronto.